Welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. You know, one thing that is constant in life is there will always be change. And changes could be buying or selling a home, the loss of a loved one, marriage, divorce. It goes on. But when you find yourself on a new path, whether planned or unexpected, what you know is home is shaken or shattered. So this is clear. How you process a change will impact the trajectory of your life. Moving Forward for Life with Rosita starts now. Hi, and welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. I'm Rosita, your host, founder of Moving Forward for Life, and a self-discovery life coach. The focus of my shows are topics related to self-discovery, all with the goal to help you find your purpose, let you know you're not alone, get unstuck, and move forward for a life that you desire. Today, my guest is Julie McLean. I'm so honored. She is a speaker, mental health advocate, author, and certified coach. In 2021, she spoke at TEDx Ocala Stage. Her mission is to end the stigma of mental health. Welcome, Julie. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love this.
Our topic today is so important, and it brings awareness and educates everyone, because it's a topic that you say is there is stigma to suicide, mental health, mental illness. There's a stigma in all that. And so people decide not to talk about it. They don't want to touch it at all. So today is our part two.
Yes.
Three signs of how to recognize, right? Three signs of suicidal behavior in others. Right. Part one, if you did not see it, is about three signs of suicidal behavior in ourselves. So important to watch, because ladies, we do so much that we don't recognize, and we give so much to everybody else. So it's important to take care of self before we can take care of others. Yeah. So I do want to ask you to do a small snippet of your story, because I think that's important to connect with everything that you're doing, that you have been through it. So you are the perfect person to help others through it.
Like, been there, done that, wrote the book.
got the t-shirt.
So basically, I am a suicide survivor. I have thought about suicide almost every day of my life. I have been through trauma. And back in 2019 is when everything just came to a head and I couldn't take it anymore. And my husband came home to me crying on the couch and telling him that I was leaving him. And he asked me the three most important questions in my life. And that was, are you okay? And I obviously wasn't. Do you want to hurt yourself? And do you have a plan? And because I answered yes, especially to that last one, I had a plan. He knew that I was in deep in crisis, and I needed to get help. And he was there every step of the way, helping me and getting me that help where I wasn't totally panicked over it. And the help that I got ended up teaching me that talking about mental health and mental illness is so important, and yet we don't do it. Yeah. So that's the background in a nutshell, Reader's Digest version.
I'm so glad that you turn the mess into your message.
Yep.
And that you are still here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you are spreading the word of breaking the stigma, because it is so essential, not only to recognize it in ourselves, but Julie, how do we recognize it in others?
So there's three key things to recognize with others is talking. If you're noticing that a friend or a loved one is talking about taking their own life, feeling hopeless, they're talking about how they have nothing to live for, talking about there being a burden to others, or talking about feeling trapped, or talking about the pain that they feel, whether it be physical or emotional. That's the first key sign that somebody is struggling with their mental health.
Now,
The
let me
second,
ask you a question there.
yeah.
So, someone who talks about it, that's pretty easy to see. What if someone doesn't talk about it and doesn't talk at all, doesn't share
Well,
feelings, that kind of thing?
that's where we get into
Oh, okay,
the
great. I jumped the
other two. So the second thing that you want to look for is behavior.
gun.
So somebody who is increasing or starting to use alcohol or drugs, people who are looking for ways to end their life and searching for it, isolating away from family and friends, visiting or calling people to say goodbye, giving away prized possessions or any possessions. All of a sudden they're agitated. All of a sudden they're aggressive. All of a sudden they're withdrawing from everything. These are the signs. The behavioral signs of somebody who is struggling with their mental health.
Someone who wants to always be alone. I mean, being alone in itself is not bad, but when it is a constant, like, I just want to be alone. I just want to. Okay.
And I'll refer back to my behavior when I was headed down to my road of crisis was. And I said this in the first episode, but for somebody who hasn't watched it, I would not want to go places, but I would have to. And so I would walk up to the door like this, and then I would throw on this mask and walk in the door and say, "Hi, I'm here." And that's what everybody saw, was that mask that I put on. At least everybody outside of my inner circle. My inner circle always knew that that was just a facade, but nobody recognized it as being a path heading to crisis. They know
They know the signs.
Yeah. So somebody's change in behaviors are that second sign that somebody can be headed for crisis. The third one is mood changes. Have they been feeling sad for a very long time, depressed even? It's not just one or two days, but it's you're noticing that a week has gone by and they're not getting any better. 2 weeks have gone by, they're not getting better. It's this long, prolonged feeling of depression. That if you see that in somebody, that's where you're going to start asking yourself mental questions about the health of this other person. If you're noticing that they're getting anxious all the time, or they've lost interest in something they truly love, again, if they're irritable and they usually aren't, if they're easily humiliated or always feeling like shame. And then I don't know why this one says sudden improvement, but sometimes we focus all of our efforts into something to meet a goal. And the reason why we're doing that is totally different from why we should be doing it. And so for me, it was overpromising and under-delivering. I would not be the one to say no. I would always be the person to say, "Yeah, sure, I can do that, no problem." And then I,
Do
yeah,
everything.
I can do everything. And then I would do it, and it wouldn't be to my standards. And it was my standards, not somebody else's standards, but it wouldn't be to my standards. And then I would be like, "I'm such a failure." So if you see people like that you're constantly saying to them, "My God, what you've done is amazing." And they're like, "No, I could have done better." These are all signs of insecurity and feeling like you're not enough. And that is a sign to watch out for. So the big three things are what they're saying, what they're doing, and how they're feeling. So talk, mood, and behavior are the three big signs on what to look for if you think somebody's in crisis. And I have to say, don't be afraid to ask the same questions my husband asked me. Are you okay? If I had said, yeah, sure, I'm fine, he wouldn't have believed me. If you fully, truly feel in your heart that that person is not okay, don't take yes for an answer. Gently nudge a little bit more. If you ask, do you want to hurt yourself? Don't let that go by the wayside, and don't be afraid to ask the question. This is the one thing that there's such a misnomer about it, is that if you ask the question, do you want to hurt yourself? That person is not going to go out and say, hey, wait, that's a great idea. Maybe I should go do that. That's not how it works. If you ask that question, that actually is all of a sudden something going into that person's head saying, what the heck am I thinking if somebody else is noticing this? And you put the brakes on it. And then that third question of, do you have a plan? That plan is letting you know that their crisis is there. It's not that it's coming. That crisis is there. They want to hurt themselves and they want to do it now. And you need to get them help right then and there. Don't leave them. Stay with them no matter who they are. Get help, whether it be call 911 or get them to a therapist, whatever it takes. You need to be there and get them help. Please do not leave them alone. Even if they fight with you, saying, just leave me alone, go away. No, I'm not leaving you alone until I know you're safe. And we have to have the confidence to be able to say that to people and be able to do that for people.
And also trust your intuition.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you could, they, like you said, you they could say, no, I'm fine, but your intuition, your husband's intuition was, no, you're not.
Yeah, but my husband knows me enough that if I were to leave him, first of all, it's not happening. It's not happening. If something was so egregious in our marriage, I would throw him out, but I wouldn't leave. I wouldn't. Why would I leave? I didn't do anything wrong. So he knows me well enough to do that. And I call him my person because I have enough trust in him that I can tell him anything.
That's
So,
important to have.
yeah, because if you know somebody who struggles with their mental health, be open and willing to be their person because they need somebody that they can go to and talk to and spill their guts out to. So don't ever tell somebody, just get over it. You can't just get over it. It's
No.
to a point you need some help. So
Yeah.
have compassion for that person. They're not going to get over it. It's not just in their head. It starts in their head, but it really is a feeling throughout the entire body. That feeling of despair and helplessness and hopelessness that somebody feels. And you as a loved one, a caregiver, a friend, have never walked in that person's shoes. So you might have an idea of what they're feeling. You might have felt something similar to that, but you never really know exactly how they feel. And all too often, we will turn around to somebody who is struggling and say, I know exactly how you feel. You don't.
Yeah, I was
And I
just
say that very kindly. You don't know exactly how they feel.
Yeah. And I think that's important that you don't have to have the words. Sometimes just being right there, showing that you care enough to just be right beside.
When I had my crisis in 2019, I had to agree on a few things. One of them was I wasn't allowed to drive because my plan included my car. The other one was I wasn't allowed to be alone. Now, this happened on a Wednesday. My husband had to be in Tallahassee because I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. He had to be in Tallahassee that weekend. He couldn't change it. He had to go. So we talked to a friend and said, "Can you come and spend the weekend and just make sure she's okay?" And she did. She sat on a chair right next to me the entire weekend. I was catatonic on the couch. I couldn't move. And she just sat there. She didn't say anything. She didn't do anything. She just sat there. And sometimes that's all somebody needs is to just have that other body close to them and absorbing some of that energy and imparting some healthy energy.
And it's also such a caring act to be respectful enough not to pry, but to let the person know I care. I'm here. We don't have to talk. I just want to support you. I think that's a high form of showing love.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're looking for at that point in time is you're looking for someone to show you love and compassion and empathy. You might not know it consciously because so many things happen unconsciously when you are in that situation. When you're in that crisis, things that you can't even understand. Like when I was in crisis and crying my eyes out and my husband was asking these questions, I could not physically answer him. I couldn't say yes, I couldn't say no. All I could do was shake my head and nod my head. And when he took me to my therapist had took 45 minutes for me to physically say, "Yes, I need help." And as she explained it to me, she couldn't help me until I told her I needed help. Shaking my head was not an option. I had to physically tell her. And people don't realize when you're in a crisis like that, how hard that really is. You feel like you don't have the strength or the energy to be able to do that.
Now, Julie, what would you say to someone who is trying to be a support person, and but that person is really irritable and mean and just trying to push you away, basically? What is a suggestion for dealing with that, knowing that your intuition is saying, don't leave them, they're not in a good space?
The first thing I would say is contact a therapist or a doctor or somebody who has the training in how to deal with this. The thing is if you're in that situation, if you're in crisis, you're going to push because you're going to tell everybody, "I'm fine. I don't need any help. Just go away. I'm not worth helping anyway." You don't have to go. You can just sit there and say, "Okay, I'm just going to leave you be." And just sit there. Don't talk to them. Don't leave them. Nothing. If they start yelling at you, "Why are you still here?" You just turn around and say, "Because I'm not ready to leave yet." If they start getting physical and violent, then you go ahead and you call 911 because the physicalness and the violence means that it's there. They're in crisis. They need help. Now, so don't let them bully you.
Yeah, because that is a sure sign that I'm not worth it. And now I've dealt with a couple of people like that. And what I would say is, you're worthy. You know, I love you. And, you know, I would get comments like, well, I don't need anybody. Everybody needs somebody.
Yeah, but when you're in
Everybody.
that, when you're in that mindset, you know, just turn around and just say, but I love you and I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell them, you know, that they're not, you know, if they're saying they're not worthy or they don't need to be loved, don't respond back to, well, I want to love you. Or
Oh,
you
that's
know,
not
you
a good
should
thing.
know that you are loved. No. Say,
But just saying the encouraging word would not be a good time to say that then.
No, not at all. I mean, sometimes nothing is better than something. And you know, like I said, if why are you still here? Why don't you just leave? Just leave me alone. And just saying, I love you too much to leave. And that's it. You don't have to get deep into conversation because they're not going to be able to get deep into conversation. You don't want to get confrontational with them
Okay.
because then you're going to trigger them even more. So make sure that, you know, you say as little as possible if they're in that agitated state without letting them be alone.
Okay. And is it okay then if they push so much that you end up going, is it okay then to call or text and say, hey, just checking on you?
If it's to a point where they're so agitated that you have to leave, you shouldn't be leaving unless there is a health professional or a police officer or something there. You never want to leave somebody who's in crisis. And if they're at a point where they're getting physical and obstinate that you need to leave, they can't be alone because that's all they're doing is saying, you have to go so I can get this done. You know, so if you think of it in those terms that somebody who's in crisis or heading to crisis wants you to leave because they just want to get it done, how are you going to feel when you leave? And they do. Yeah, I was speaking with somebody recently about a friend of theirs that they asked them, are you okay? And the friend just blew it off, said, yeah, I'm fine, no problem. And he's like, okay. And he left it at that. And then he found out 2 days later that his friend died by suicide. He felt and still to this day feels terrible because he just let it go. Follow your gut. If your gut tells you that this person is not okay, don't take yes for an answer. But don't push so hard that you're going to push them over the edge too. Yeah,
That,
if yeah,
that's a fine
it
line
is a
there.
fine line. You know, it's a balancing act, and you really have to take your cues. There's no right or wrong answer for everybody. Everybody is going to react differently. You know, for me, my husband knew because I was sobbing, and I don't do that. I was sobbing. He knew that I was in crisis. He just knew because he knows that if I lose control like that, there's something definitely wrong. You know, so everybody is different. And, you know, you can notice it in strangers. You know, don't hesitate if you see somebody on a bench who's looking really distraught. Don't hesitate to go to them and say, hey, you know, I noticed that you're looking, you know, a little distraught. Are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? First of all, they're going to be taken aback that you actually took the time to ask. But then all of a sudden what happens is you start thinking, wait a second, somebody actually cares. So
That
the
sometimes that's enough right there, right?
yes.
Just
Yep.
to know that, wow, somebody cared enough to stop and ask me.
Yeah. And that's what started me on this journey of talking because after my crisis, I needed help from my friends. And when I told them what was going on, There was so much love and so much support that they gave me. I'm like, wow, I've spent years not talking about this. And now I'm willing to tell anybody and talk to anybody about it.
Wow. So I just got to note that we have 3 minutes left. Let's recap. Okay, three signs of suicidal behavior in others. One is the talking. Someone talks about it, being a burden. I feel trapped. Number two is the behavior, giving away possessions, withdrawing and isolation. And then number three is the mood changes, the feeling sad, the anxious, the irritable, if they're easily humiliated. And then asking the question, are you okay? Do you want to hurt yourself? And do you have a plan? Those three questions really helped you, Julie. You mentioned when your
they
husband.
They saved my life. Yeah. Those three questions saved my life.
Yeah. So those are the three. Julie, I thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
And sharing your experience and wisdom. And thank you for the work that you do. Much respect to you. How can people reach out to you?
They can reach out to me on my website, which is www.starttheconvo.net. So remember, it's .net. And I have links on there to, I have a gratitude journey on link on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I'm actually going to be starting a self-love journey very soon too. But you can go and visit those pages if you need to contact me. My email and my phone number are on there. So, you know, go ahead and contact me. If you're an organization who needs a speaker, I'm your girl.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you.
Now, I want to remind everybody, if you need some self-discovery tools, you want a free clarity session, please reach out or go to my website at movingforwardforlife.com, schedule your free clarity session, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. Through my own personal healing journey, I've come out stronger and braver. I know firsthand how hard, how lonely, and heartbreaking it is to continually live in pain. As we work together, you will discover the good, the bad, and the not so pretty parts of yourself so you can uncover the fabulous in you. Discover what you need to come home, whether that's a physical home or the home in you. Join me every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.